As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast. Yes, I am wearing a t-shirt because I have poison ivy all up and down
Wait,
my arms.
Stop it.
Yes.
Poison oak or poison ivy?
I don't know. I think I have
poison oak. Boy, are you sure it's not?
This is what happens when you go off the course looking for gold.
No.
Yeah,
oh, I thought you were joking.
I know.
I didn't think you were serious.
Wait, first of all, I actually like when you're in a white t-shirt. It looks good on you, but oh my God. One of my fears is poison oak.
It's a wonderland of errant golf balls.
Did you put calamine lotion on it?
My wife got me calamine lotion today. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, anyway, season.
I'm so sorry. Don't touch anything. It's
no, it doesn't. No, not the kind I have doesn't spread. It's different.
Oh, then maybe it is poison ivy.
Yeah, something. But it's nasty. Oh, it's so itchy.
Don't.
So anyway, season 7, episode 1.
Oh my gosh.
Whatever the name of it is.
The Long Morrow.
The Long
Morrow. Morrow, Morrow.
Productions, iHeart Radio, iHeart Podcast, iHeart Media, 111 Radio, 111 Media, 111 Podcasts.
I have a question
joined
for you.
By Tara, Amy, Danielle. Hello, hello, hello. And okay, Suzanne is a little under the weather.
She's lost her voice.
Lost her voice.
Please don't penalize us for the fact that you're queen.
Yeah,
is gone for one day.
Has nothing to do with a contract negotiation and sudden loss of
for
vocal.
Season 7.
Can you imagine? That is so funny, Scott. Suzanne's like, I need a 3-year deal, or I'm not. Yeah. It's weird because in the rewatch, I'm so aware of the like, no more Amy and Dan, and the whole thing. I don't think I was so aware of it. The first 10 times I watched this.
I think I
watched
it.
When's the last time you woke up to a rocket?
You know, every day. Just kidding.
You just take it easy there, folks. Kids are listening. This was a little,
off. It's a little off.
There's so much to unpack. It just started out. I wrote down some thoughts about the fans.
Give it.
And I'm wondering, as a fan, you know, if they felt deceived for 6 years with this light and delightful show that this is, only to have the rug pulled like this, or are they used to it by now and they live in a world of lowered expectations? And, you know, I'm only here for the jokes and the episodes I love. Only, and we accept these storylines, and we're just going to have to deal with them, and maybe they don't watch them anymore on the repeat side of things. You
Did
know
she
what I
think
mean?
It was bad?
I thought there were some incredibly funny bits and great jokes and great writing.
Yeah.
And at times it really felt like the old show.
Yeah.
But there was something really forced about it.
Yes.
I think what we discussed last week was forcing a narrative or a plot onto characters when characters should be driving this, not writers. Not notes. And this felt all notey and impositional, and
it was hashtag trying too hard for me.
It's yeah, okay. It's Gilmore Girls. Here's my main point. My main point is, this show is it's light. At its best, it is light fare. It cannot handle this kind of a heavy lift. And it's asking the audience to go along with this massive sea change of a breakup, and I want him out, his stuff out of my, I mean, it almost comes off like it's cruel.
Well, yes. Audience
or mean.
It's so
out of place, because this is a light, funny, breezy show at its best with maybe a heavy little thing at the end.
Well, and even at its heaviest,
right?
Lorelai would have talked to Luke. All those scenes where she's like, "We're over and I'm not talking to you." Really? Like, really? You're going to marry this guy? And you say he's like the only person you've ever loved, and you've been friends with him for this long. You're not going to talk to him? Like, that just to me was like, what Gossip Girl planet am I on?
I have a weird theory about it. I think, not even a weird theory, but I think Lorelai is telling herself that they're broken up to make what she did with Christopher somewhat okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she definitely regrets that. She hates herself for that.
And she's like, "Well, we were broken up. We're broken up. It's like, didn't have that conversation.
Well, even in the first scene, you can just tell from her face in bed, you can tell she's like, "I messed up." I don't know how much she regrets it, but I think she just knows she didn't do the right thing.
So here's the strangest line ever uttered out of Lorelai's mouth is confessing to this to Luke.
I found that so crazy. Scott.
It's like, what?
Totally.
Okay, that's the show. Show's over. That relationship's dead. I mean, if you wanted to kill the relationship, there you go.
And I know everyone's always like, "Oh, Amy, you always just kiss up to Scott," and it's like, I don't. Trust me, I don't. Like, there's a lot of things. Knew. Yeah, if you only knew, Scott will be like, "How about this idea?" And I'm just like, "No, no." And he's like, "I really think we should do that," and I'm like, "We're absolutely never doing that." Of a lot of the characters felt off to me, other than Luke. Luke felt pretty Luke-ish to me. You know, authentically Luke, your performance was the same.
Yeah, but have you ever seen him that pathetic? Groveling,
A little pathetic, right. I get what you're saying. He didn't really do anything that wrong that he needed to be so desperate.
Listen, I have a pathetic meter over here. That was on 10.
I would argue to say that this was the first time we saw Luke come back to being Luke. Like, totally. Yeah,
I agree with you, Danielle. He was very Luke-y to me, and I was into it. And I thought Lorelai needed to treat him a little bit better, even if it was just to say, like, let's go have dinner and talk this through. Even if ultimately she still broke up with him. It was so like, really?
She's treating him like he cheated on her.
Because that's what you do when somebody
cheats on you and you're in a committed, loving relationship. It's over. Bye. Get your stuff out of my house. We're not talking about it. And I banged your best friend.
You're blowing my mind right now, because I was about to say, I have friends getting divorced from their husbands that cheated on them that will sit down and have a conversation over dinner about it. Like, it was so unhinged. It was like, you could argue that,
obviously Luke didn't cheat on Lorelai, but he focus all his attention on something else.
Oh, you mean his kid? Oh,
his kid.
You mean his flesh and blood?
No, but he was like, he's Lorelai. He's out.
By the way, I just learned this. If you hold up a peace sign on the Zoom, balloons go flying.
Does it?
Peace, baby.
I had that happen.
Just balloons. Oh, look.
Peace, man. Why isn't it happening for me? It's not happening for me.
Maybe you don't have that on. Wait, you guys, first of all, shout out to the person in the Instagram comments, because I think we said something like, I wish we could interview somebody that has a long lost child. And the person wrote, get Gavin Rossdale. And it's like, we literally said to Danielle, do you think we could ask Gavin? Is that just too weird?
Connect those dots.
It's like I don't know anyone else that just discovered. Do we know anyone else? Because I want to know, like, in my opinion, if you learn you have a kid that you didn't know about.
Just walk in downtown Hollywood, swing a dead cat around, you'll hit five
people. Know what? I was going to say, do we call Maury Povich?
I know someone with the reverse, where they thought a kid was theirs until the kid was 5 years old and then found out it wasn't. I know the exact reverse.
That's rough.
That's rough.
But my thing is, if you learned you have a kid that you did not know about, and you're a Luke-type person who, like, is going to step up, I would think your entire world stops. Your relationship, your work, everything would just stop while you deal with this. I don't know why. And I know the people that write to us so disagree with me. Or they sort of agree, but they disagree. Where I'm like, of course your relationship's going to suffer and your work would suffer and all kinds of things, because you're like, I just learned I have a human child.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a life-changing moment. It's kind
of a big deal.
Doesn't mean I don't love you. Listen, so we've debated this until the cows come home.
Right.
But yeah, just very odd
and off.
My
take on it, just from a bird's eye view, I'd rather have season 7 than nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather be watching slightly off version of Gilmore Girls than have them ended it. I don't want that.
Right. It's slightly off version is far more entertaining than
nothing. Right. The other thing I did notice is, and I'm sure when we go scene by scene, there's a couple monologues. Like, I think Rory has one, and I think there's that just felt like, oh, we better give some zippy zang dialogue and let him do a monologue. And I'm just like,
I'll wait until we get there, but I have a flag on a part of this episode, so we'll get there. But Scott, I do have a question, Scott. Was it, did you bring over any of the same writers from seasons 1 through 6 to season 7, or was it a completely new staff?
I don't know. I think it's a revolving door there.
Okay.
Where, you know, imagine being a Gilmore Girls writer, you know, and because of the success of the show, you know, a lot of these writers got offers for other shows and good deals. So they, you know, rotated out and new ones came in, and that just sort of kept happening, I think. So we were getting fresh writers, and they're all great. I mean, they're all just super great.
Did you feel like people were nervous? Almost like, okay, you know, when there's like so much pressure and so much change and you're like, oh God, I'm nervous. You know, like, it's kind of like how you feel like, I don't know, imagine if you worked at the White House, right? Because, you know, the staff stays the same and a new president comes in. Obviously, you're not going to be like, even if on Tuesday you were high-fiving Barack and then in comes another guy and you're like, oh, here's your water, here's your nap. Like, that's how I felt a little bit, like everybody
here's your
was
depends.
Like, like, I don't know. I just was like, something's weird.
Here's your pep pills so you don't fall asleep in the middle of a speech.
I don't know. Luke didn't come across nervous to me, but I think some of the others, maybe they felt a lot of pressure. Everybody, it just felt like, oh God, we got to make a great Gilmore Girls episode. And then instead it was sort of like,
well, I mean, so speaking of the writers, you know, if anybody was nervous, it was Dan and Amy. And I think with new writers constantly coming in, you know, Amy and Dan and Amy, did a lot of the polishing and a lot of the work after the fact. They'd receive an episode and they'd go through it. So it's a full-time job for them, even though they're not writing the episode. They are writing every episode, right? Mm-hmm. So their stamp is on everything. You could really feel in this one, there's no stamp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. It didn't have a polish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But still darn funny.
I hate to say what I'm about to say
and
to you guys.
Still entertaining is all get out. I got to tell you. It's who wrote this episode?
David Rosenthal.
Yeah,
it's a good episode. It's a super B plus. Yeah. Okay.
B plus.
Before we go into it, you guys, I hate to say what I'm about to say because I really have
Don't say it, please.
You're over Christopher.
I'm not
over Christopher.
No. She's going to say the opposite.
No.
Don't do it.
He gave me, and I'm going to say it like, he gave me a little of the ick in this. I didn't want to say the ick because it's such a like millennial but thing to
that's
say.
That's how to describe it.
So he gives me a little bit of the willies in this. So we always called it like willies. Give me the willies.
Because he was so like, we love you, Lorelai.
Yeah.
You know, like you know she cheated on
her. He's been too many shirtless Christopher scenes
He's delusional. I think the guy is delusional. He doesn't
definitely
understand.
Delusional.
He's delusional. He doesn't understand. He's so out of touch and he's so obsessed with his own plight. And he's in his own confusion, mired in his own conflicting weird thoughts about himself and his life, that he's not at all in tune with anything Lorelai's going through.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't give a damn about Luke. Why should he punched him in the? Did he punch him yet? Yeah.
Yeah. When he got in the fist fight back at the re-wedding. Yeah.
So it's like there's no growth here of this character. There's no maturity. There's no consciousness. There's no. He's just the most. There's no magnanimity.
The ick is the perfect way to describe
it. It's just weird. And here's another observation is, you know, a character that has that many warts on him, as Christopher does he taint the likability factor of Lorelai and sort of bring her down to his level? Because he's not coming up to her level.
She did that on her own in this episode.
Wow.
Yeah, you're right. She's the one that marched on over there.
Put your sabers away. We've got a rapier wit over here. Oh,
well,
man.
I know we're going to go in scene by scene. You are number three on the credits.
Yes.
And I think what I would say is like, by season seven, there is no Gilmore Girls without Luke. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've become such an important part. You definitely are number three now. You know what I mean? There is no debating it. Like, Melissa McCarthy's amazing. Keiko's amazing. Everybody, this is now a three lead show. And then I'd probably say Richard and Emily, and then all the rest.
Well, yeah, that's why the number changed, I guess.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States.
In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie lover friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun, but then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Season 7, Episode 1, The Long Morrow, air date September 26, 2006. Lorelai wakes up in bed with Christopher regretting her decision of spending the night with him. Luke tries to apologize and make up for the night before it's too late. Meanwhile, Rory is puzzled by a mysterious gift that Logan left her. And Taylor has a red light camera installed in front of the diner, which leads to an accident that angers the already agitated Luke.
So we find Rory waking up in Logan's place, and there's a gift. And she opens it, and it's a rocket. It's a, like an old Apollo 9, Apollo 11.
I thought it was a big thing of alcohol. You know,
I, like, thought, there was, I thought there was something in it too. Right? It's not, there had to be like.
I thought there was a liquor in that.
Sapphires, something. Anyway, what do we think of this opening?
Fine.
Good, good
setup. Was it a good setup for all of the theories that they
start,
had?
Is this the first moment we see, we don't see Lorelai first, or do we?
No, we see Rory waking up.
We see Rory
up.
First.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, first.
Fine. Mm-hmm. Fine. Fine.
I personally didn't really like care for her storyline with Logan in this episode, with like figuring out what it meant. I don't know. I was so deep into the Lorelai, Christopher, Luke of it all that I was like, I didn't really need this. But
well, and for me, Rory and Logan are totally together. I don't need this wondering and like he's so in and she's so in. It's like, and it's, what is it? You can make it till Christmas or tell him, you know what? I'm going to come sooner. Like, they're together. Paris, shut up.
Nice friend Paris is. Huh? What a pal.
I think, I guess we'll get to it. Late, a little bit later. They got a ticket after Christmas or during Christmas, mm-hmm. And this is right before summer. That is a long.
Yeah, it's like June.
Time.
Yeah, I agree, but she could say something. She could say, "Fine, I'm coming earlier."
But he's just saying, like, "Hey, I got you a ticket for Christmas."
So maybe he doesn't know she wants to come sooner. It's not his fault. Danielle, you want everybody to be a mind reader.
I think if he wanted to get her the ticket for Christmas, he's like, hey, I'd love for you to spend Christmas here, but also I want to see you before that. That's what he could have done.
Why is he playing games with Rory? Why didn't he go to Rory and say, I really would like you to come to London with me? He never really said
that. Yeah, I agree with, he could have said for the whole summer. She should go for the whole summer.
There was never any communication about this. Right?
But instead of him saying, tell me not to go. But that's
playing games. That's just, that's maybe not stepping up. That is not stepping up. Why is he playing a coy little game like a little boy? Like, tell me, who is he? King Betty Davis or something? It's like Drama King. Step up. Right?
Right. I mean, right.
Stop like flashing your expressive eyes and you know, be a man and step up and say, I want you with me in London.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he can't hack it. I think you're right, Scott. He could have just said.
All the rest of it is just bullshit. I'm sorry.
No, I think you're right. It's like I think she was right to say you should go. I'm not going to tell you not to go. Mm-hmm. But why? She could have just said like, hey, it's summer. She does need to go back to finish school, right? So she has to go back to Yale in the fall. But it's June. Like she could just say, you know what? I'm not going to tell you not to go, but I'm going to come with you and we're going to make this great. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe because my only theory is like, oh, daddy got him the job. He can't bring his girlfriend. I don't know. That's like my only possible.
Yes, he can. What?
There was never a discussion.
Right. I agree with you.
He should have stepped up. That's on him.
I actually would have been fine with her going for the summer and watching that. Like, I don't need what I'm watching.
Yeah.
Like,
but I did enjoy the racquetball scene when they're not playing.
That
racquetball,
was funny.
They're talking about theories, so that was the payoff for that.
That was funny.
That was
also
good.
The way that like it's not like they just started dating. Like the way she tiptoes around him, it's like it's your boyfriend. Just talk to him.
Totally, well, Tara.
Somebody else could take a lesson from that book too.
Yeah, people need to start communicating.
Communicating. It's like that's the only thing.
All of them.
Right. So Lorelai wakes up.
Yeah, this is where I got the hard ick.
Mm, yeah.
And that was like, you know, when you walk into a party, have you ever walked into a party with somebody and then that the record player, did, like the needle scratches over the record and everybody's just staring? that's the analogy I'm going to use for this scene. It was like, everybody stops like, what is happening here?
Cringy too, cringy.
Let me make you breakfast.
With his shirt off. And I just was like, oh God. And all I could think about was that Tyler from TikTok being like, in a stupid buzz cut. And I'm like,
right. No. Oh God. That was an uncomfortable watch. That was an uncomfortable 1.5 minutes.
It was. I don't hate Christopher and I don't. But it gave me a little willy.
Yeah. All right. Now we're at. What else would you like to add to this? I mean, when she closed the door, she did kind of gag. I thought that was a little much.
We've all been there, not in our 40s, but in college.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I've definitely kissed people. And then the next day you're like, am I going to
barf?
What did I do? And you have to say to yourself, block it, block it from your mind, block it from your mind.
Right.
Block it from your mind.
It'll go away eventually.
Yeah. And you're like, I don't think that. And then 10 years later, someone's like, I think you kissed him. And you're like, I don't think I did.
Wasn't there this conspiracy theory going around that Lauren and I don't like each other, and the reason that David Sutcliffe was ramped up in season 7 is because Amy and Dan were gone. Now she could control. She was a producer on season 7, so she could sort of eliminate me and hang with him and all that stuff. And I say, I throw a flag on that because she's not stupid.
I am so stoked that you would never do that. First of all, you need to like get that. Poison Ivy more often because it has made you so fired up. You guys, this is our, first of all, season 7 of Gilmore Girls may be the worst, but season 7 of I Am All In is on fire because Scott has dropped an F-bomb, which we did bleep, a BS-bomb.
Did I?
Yes, and we are here for it. And now you're leaning into this rumor that has been talked about forever. And I think you're right. Like, correct. Like, first of all, there's millions of Luke Lorelai scenes, and they could have been so much better. Like, the chemistry between you two is way better than the chemistry between Christopher and Lorelai. I admit they have a little. But it is not comparable.
Very little.
The chemistry in the scene in the yard was amazing. And you weren't even like 20 feet from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, continue.
Well, you know.
Tell us more.
I mean, what was the gag reflex at the end of that scene? Was it for the narrative? Was it for the storyline? Or what was she trying to communicate there?
That she what? Wanted
she was
to,
disgusted with herself.
Yeah, walk of shaming out of there.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a walk of shame in the dress, the whole nightmare. Yeah.
I have written down walk of shame. There it is.
Oh, it's so bad.
And then Babette comes in and saves the day, right?
Yeah, now, solid.
Seriously, is there a better comedic actress than Sally Struthers?
No, that was so good. Funny.
A masterclass. I mean, how she's got 10 plates. She's got 10 balls in the air in one scene. It's amazing for me to. She's amazing. She's absolutely amazing.
It's so funny. When I was watching this scene, I was like, man, she's so funny. I wonder what she's like in real life. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot we met.
That's what she's like in real life.
She's just like that. And it's her.
Yeah, that's her. She's on 11 at all
times. And that scene was much needed. Uh-huh. It was like, can somebody help me?
Please pick us up. Pick us up off the ground. We're down. We've taken a knee. We need some Gatorade. We're parched. We really need a shot of something here. And we got a whole big tub of Babette, which we really needed. Didn't see a Jeep there. So there's now.
Oh, that was good.
Opening up the ball on where were you last night? Because we didn't see you at Suki's. And where the heck were you? And you didn't come home.
And she's in her dress from the night before. It's so God.
Yeah, that it just planted the seed beautifully there. So now we're at Yale. Paris proving yet again what an incredibly treasured friend she can be.
So funny.
And a lot of entertainment.
Yeah, is this in the newsroom? She goes
SAT prep.
Yeah, that part was funny.
Yeah. Oh, without question. You know, she's going to tutor high school kids to bring their grades up so that they can take the SATs and maybe.
And even her talking to that mom and daughter, I was like, okay, that I'm into.
Right. And then the mom has to take a test.
Yeah. Didn't you say, like, if you're stupid, I can work with that better?
Right. Right.
That was actually, like, one of my favorite lines I wrote down. I'll say it at the end.
So good.
Right. Exactly. Oh, but lazy, that's bone deep. There's nothing I can do for you.
Yeah. Then I didn't need the whole, like, putting into Rory's head that he's, like, cheating on her, whatever.
But don't you think Paris gets into it? Paris is capable. Like, this is a certain personality of hers. This is her, like, most commanding kind of crazy condescending personality, and that when she gets that lather up, she can't stop it, because there's Rory, her best friend, and she continued to fire bombs at Rory after, you know, having open season on the daughter and the mother. She aimed at it, and there are times when Paris is contrite and and open and isn't filled with anxiety, and she's sort of reflective, and she realizes that Rory is such a valuable person and such a sweet friend and such, but not this time. No. I mean, she just emptied both barrels on her about Logan. I mean, thank God.
She just has no. It's not even a filter. It's like a sensitivity chip. Like, it's just like, she's so like, oh God, what? She's not the friend that you want to ask, like, do I look fat in this?
Yeah. She'll be like,
And just laying on thick that, you know, Logan, what do you think? Logan's going to cheat. And, you know, London's the city of romance. No, that's Paris. No, well, London's the city of bimbos or whatever.
London's
the city of, I don't know, one night stands, whatever she said.
I feel like, look, Logan learned his lessons from the bridesmaids. He's not going to cheat on her. I just don't see it, but we'll see.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success.
Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, a daily podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Every weekday, we bring you conversations with the culture makers who inspire us.
Like our recent episode with Hollywood royalty Regina and Raina King. We talked about the creative power of women's relationships.
I feel like, thank God for women, like, especially when it comes to Black women, the way we lean on our mothers, our grandmothers, our sisters, our friends, we're just each other's pulse. I mean, it's molecular, you know?
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now we're at the house, and this was jarring for me. All of a sudden, here's Luke.
with the truck.
It was jarring. It was so over the top, desperate, and it was just, this shocked me out of the episode.
He would have come over. I get
it's
that.
All packed up. What are they going to Maryland for? Right. What was the Maryland thing?
I guess you get married
over in,
you don't
like,
need
just,
a marriage
it's like
license.
Vegas. All right,
yeah.
Like that.
My thing's like, he would have come over. That's very Luke-like, right? He would have come over, but not with the whole truck and the, I figured it out. Let's go get married today. No, he would have come over and said, hey,
we
need to have a conversation.
It looked like the opening of the Beverly Hillbillies, you know? You know, load your upper truck and move on out of there.
What is all that, too? What's he got in there?
What was all that garbage in his truck? Where are they going?
There was like a chair or something. I'm like, what is that crap?
Mr. Romance, we'll go to Vermont for a week, you know? Okay.
He would have come over, but not, it was so hashtag trying too hard. No. Also, okay, I understand that everyone's Team Lorelai and, oh, we're so disappointed in Luke. Like, Luke does have sort of a leg to stand on here. Like, wait a minute. Like, I have a kid. I'm sorry I didn't, you know, handle it all perfectly. You're breaking up with me because you gave me an ultimatum. And I said, wait a minute.
How much more powerful would it have been if it was stoic Luke, who didn't react, who just suffered in silence yet again, like he wasn't dating her when she was dating other men.
Right, right.
And then they ran into each other, or he came over time and it was calmer and it was cooler.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been far more powerful and it would have honored that relationship in a better way. I thought this destroyed obliterated 6 years of mutual respect. It obliterated his character. It obliterated her character. The destruction that happened in that scene was, to me, stunning.
Well, and Scott, you've been married.
I was watching it.
You've been married for a long time. Danielle's married. I just don't think you would have let your fiancés, is that how you say it? Yeah, fiance. Yeah. Just end it like that. Like, it's just marriage is such a serious thing, right?
Yeah.
I just don't think you're ending it on a marry me today. You know, I just don't think that. I just think there's so much deeper. It's just so weird.
Right. Your kid shows up. you're paying a lot of attention to your kid. Get out of my life. I mean, it's what?
Yeah.
We went from 0 to 100 miles an hour. Little quick, a little too quick.
I think also for her, it was one of those.
Even
things
if
that...
he's in the wrong, right? With the April thing, even mm-hmm. even if you postulate that he made a bad move.
Yeah, there
he
you go.
Should have told her. It's still not a, you know, the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
Yeah, I agree with
but
you.
I think also part of it was the fact that he wouldn't like help come up with a date. You know, they weren't,
would.
They were just stalling. I think that's what got to her. Now, I would say maybe you can have that reaction after some time, not 2 months or whatever the time frame was that this all transpired. But
am I crazy? And I know that all the many people listening are like, yes, you are. She said to him, I don't want to pick a date until Rory and I are good. And he was sad about it. He was bummed about that, but he was like, I get it. So what did he just have to say? I don't want to pick a date until April and I are good and you're integrated into this new situation properly. Is that what he was supposed to say? And then would everything be hunky dory?
In her head, probably.
Probably. I think they're just two extremely awful communicators. Extremely awful. Yeah. And that's, it got lost. It literally got lost.
If she wanted that, she should have just said it. But like you said, they can't communicate. She should have been like, hey, I'm not comfortable with this unknown. Can you at least give me something? Like, are you waiting for April to go to high school? Or, you know, like whatever it is. Like, it could be anything, but
right. Let's
talk about it.
Let's nail this down. Let's get specific here. Like, what are we dealing with here?
Right. Can I be a big dumbass right now and have more people hate me on Instagram? To me, you're going to get married, right? And
It's just bots. It's rival
not bots.
Podcast.
They wrote back
real people.
There's like 1,000 people that are like, bots. We're not bots. We hate you. But whatever. Okay. So here's my question.
But you know what? But that's a whole ocean of people behind their computers.
I'm okay with them
being
having
nasty.
Their.
It has
thoughts.
Nothing to do with you.
Well, it does.
Do you understand
but it's fine.
That? No, it doesn't. Here's the thing. It has nothing to do with you. If they weren't hating on you, they'd be hating on somebody else because they must hate. Okay.
And there are some people that
Amy,
you know,
it has nothing to do with you.
Thank you. That's so nice. So
it doesn't. I don't. When they hate on me, I don't take it seriously because it's got nothing to do with me. Well, maybe in my case, it does a little bit.
It's fine. In both our cases. Here's my question. These people are getting married. And these are not... Luke and Lorelai are like amazing people, right? They would take marriage vows seriously, right? So you, Scott, when you got married, you probably said these vows. Danielle, you did... better for worse, sickness and health, right? So we may be for worse right now, but I just feel like they are engaged. They're going to say these vows to each other. To me, you would be like, okay, well, it's for better or for worse. And for 6 months, maybe a year, we're at for worse because he just discovered he has a kid and he's focusing on that. Okay. Like we're going to have 50 more years together. I'm okay with a year being about this kid. And I know everyone's going to have a response to that. And I look forward to reading them, but that's sort of where I'm at on it. That it's like, it's okay that you're in a for worse for a minute. You'll be in a for better soon.
And when somebody gets insecure, the environment changes, you know, the atoms change, everything changes. And then it gets to a point of, where it's just pure survival and you're looking for an excuse to end something.
Mm.
Right. And, you know, it all sort of implodes very quickly with some people. And it obviously did with Lorelai. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say everybody would react that way. Different people react different situations. And it's just how she happens to be handling it and justified or not. It's, you know, we're witnessing it. It's not, again, I will make this point again. The show is too light and too airy to do this heavy a lift. Mm. And that is why it's cringe. And that is why it's not a serious drama. It's a different animal than that. And it, you know, the writers are imposing this stuff on a show and an audience that doesn't want to see
it. Can't take it, right?
They can't, and it's and rightfully so.
Am I crazy? Are we talking about the scene right now where he comes over and sort of says, "Let's go get married"?
I think we kind of are. Yeah,
we're done. We're done with that scene. We're gonna move.
But
on.
Is this where she's? This isn't where she says, "I slept with Christopher." That's later.
No, that's the very end.
Okay.
All right. So now we're in Dragonfly. Michelle and Suki are arm wrestling, which was his. This is really funny.
And she totally punks him.
She punks him. Bad.
That was funny.
And when she goes on and on about her strength,
she sings the Queen song, "No Time for Losers."
This is that was funny. This is where I was like annoyed by this scene, though. Is this where Lorelai is listening to Suki go on and on and on and on and on about her arm wrestling skills, and you can clearly tell that Lorelai wants to like cry, vomit, die, and it's just that was a little long for me. For I was like, oh my god, can we please focus on?
Yeah, but I mean, Melissa McCarthy being funny, I could watch that.
Yeah, I didn't mind it actually.
Fine.
She's fantastic.
The one thing I didn't like about this scene is when Suki was like, just don't tell him. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, we've already been here. Like, we've already been here with the lies. Like, we can't go backwards. Yeah. I mean, we already have, but you know what I mean?
No.
It was like her advice. But like, didn't Suki say, and everyone gets into fights or something like that? Like, you just work it out.
You know what's justifiable? And this is the first time I'm also saying this. What's completely justifiable is how much Luke should hate Christopher. Like, Luke should just be like, even though I don't, I don't hate Christopher. If I was Luke, I'd be like, this guy is such an irritant to me. Like, he's always the foil. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking about all the past, every problem they sort of have half the time is because of Christopher. Christopher's dad died, and then she goes over there, you know, all the things, and they never, it's just been messy, right? Like, all of it.
Yeah, it's almost like, how much can he tolerate at this point?
Just like, god,
it's like he's been, you know, he's how long suffering does this character have to be? And now he finally gets the girl. Life gets in the way. A child shows up, and now he's got to deal with her sleeping with Christopher. It's okay. What is he going to tolerate?
And Anna is a little bit flexing the same ish to Lorelai. Like, I'm not going to allow you to be around my kid until you're married. And it's like, engage isn't good enough. Like, I don't know. She's sort of the thorn in the side. I don't know. I'm like pontificating on it, but it's sort of like Anna's a little difficult too.
That's just a mama bear. That's all that is.
Well, true. Christopher's not being right. You're right. Christopher's not being right. Fair.
Don't mess with my kid.
Fair.
You're not qualified to be around my kid. I don't know you. And that's all there is to it. And when mama bear speaks, watch out.
Right. And Lorelai could do the same about Rory. Right.
All right. So that was a nice recovery from a very uncomfortable situation. We have Babette lifting us after the Christopher ick stuff. We have Suki lifting us after the Luke ick thing, the pathetic begging, groveling Luke that nobody recognized, who aliens inhabited his body for a period of time, removed his, well, I won't say it. All right, so now we're at Luke's. He's busy. He's not in a good mood. No. And Taylor is outside.
Oh, God, you scrambled that poor guy's eggs. And I was actually horrified.
That was so funny. Onto his plate. That was great.
I was so horrified.
That was good. That was good.
Lane's on her honeymoon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was great. So what do we think about this thing? This is a very enjoyable
fine.
Scene.
Great.
Yeah. And it really, you know, it got into this sort of this, you know, an issue. It, like, privacy versus, you know, a surveillance state. You want to live in a surveillance state in Stars Hollow? They'll like Taylor's a fascist, right?
Is this know. Where you go out and Taylor, of course, calls you Lucas? But is this where we learn about the camera, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, little social issue there. And now,
also, is that illegal now? Remember, it was illegal.
I think they actually are. I think because they were unenforceable in court.
Yeah, but I can't remember if like they went back into court and now it's okay, like in some states or something.
I don't know. I don't think you can have the cameras anymore because
I definitely drive by certain lights and they still flash.
Really?
You mean they're not allowed to send you a photograph and a ticket and say
because this is, and look, I'm making this up. I'm fully making this up, but it might be right. From what I remember is like you have no one to testify against in court. So, you know, you can contest a ticket, right? But there's no one to show up to be like that. I thought there was something to do with that. So they just like threw him out. Like, who's getting a red light ticket anymore? Anybody? I don't think so.
Oh, wait. There was an article that came out in October 2023 that said, as of 2014, California's constitution says that red light camera tickets are constitutional and that images taken by those cameras can legally be considered evidence in court.
That's shocking.
Proof of traffic violation.
So you can get those?
Of course California said that.
Yeah. So you can get a red light ticket?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I used to get them at that one on Wilshire. You know, on Wilshire by the veterans. Oh my God. Not only did I get in the mail a ticket of me running the light, I was on my phone holding it right up.
That's the best when people are like, that wasn't me. And it's clearly like, just you.
I was eating a cheeseburger with one hand. I was on the phone.
Putting
on
makeup with the other.
Right. Oh, I had a big Jack of Daniels just soaking it down.
So bad. Oh,
I wasn't doing anything, I swear, Judge. Well, the photos.
But at the time, the red light camera is pretty funny bit.
Yeah.
Oh, without question. Because
it was such a thing.
Yeah.
That was so great. It was so funny.
So that was funny. And I know we're not there yet, but the Kirk, I'm dead. It's so good. Yeah.
No, it's good. All right. So it's Dragonfly, Rory, Lauren, and Michelle.
Her name's Lorelai. Her real name's Lauren.
I was going to say.
That's fine, Luke. Continue.
Thank you. Amykins. And Rory waltzes in, missing Luke, making fun of Michelle's bandaged hand, which
like
flipping off the world. And then he leaves.
This is where we learn we're going to go play racquetball.
Right. And this is where Lorelai says, Luke and I split up, but I don't want to talk about it.
This was awkward. I didn't love this. This was a bit awkward for me.
Right.
It was just weird. It felt, again, kind of off. They felt off.
But it did spawn a great line. If you're going to venerate me, I'm going to venerate you. Venerator. If you're going to venerate me, I'm going to venerate you.
What is venerator? Because
there was no venting a rule that she
invoked. Venting. Okay. But, yeah, this felt weird to me, but that might just be me.
It was strained. It was a little. Yeah. It just didn't feel like
Gilmore. Racquetball felt better. Racquetball was sort of the what I wish this one would have been. This one just felt weird and awkward and like who's breaking up with their person and not talk. It just was so weird.
Yeah.
Right. Now we get to the phone call, Logan calling from Heathrow. I miss you. That was very nice little scene.
And this is where she doesn't know what the rocket is.
No, doesn't.
And we learn it's significant.
Right.
Cute, cute. You seemed normal, and Zuckri seemed normal. I wasn't like they're acting weird.
Mm-hmm.
Just Logan seems to be thriving. That's one note I did put for myself. Like he is
cutie, right?
He's doing good.
My friend calls me the other day and she goes, I'm watching this show, The Resident, and this star is really cute. And I'm like, hi, what planet have you been living on? Like that you don't know how awesome Zuckri is. I was like,
I miss that show.
I know.
I might rewatch it.
I literally was like, why don't you try Gilmore Girls and The Good Wife? Like, hello, Zuckri.
All right, hold that thought. To be continued. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at @IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.